Okay, go ahead, Matt.
All righty. Lord, we bless this meeting today, Lord, and we pray that you be here in your power and your love, Lord, and we pray that that this meeting, coming together with our brothers and sisters out there, would be blessed by you, Father, and that we will share about you, talk about you, Lord, and bless each other about you, Lord. We thank you for all that you're doing in us, and we thank you for the answered prayers we're going to be getting tonight, Lord, and for everything you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Well, all right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Everybody's prayed up. All right. What about testimonies or praise report? Boy, it's been a slow weekend for Jesus, hasn't it? Yeah, Leon.
Well, I just got a story. I was hanging a mirror for Tyambi. Okay, Ty is a black girl that fellowships with us. And she's got an apartment here in town. So she got a big mirror, like a full-length mirror, and she wanted me to hang it. So I hung it, and then she goes, "Oh, no." And I said, "What's the matter?" So she goes, "This has got scratches on the mirror. Would you mind if I, would you take it back?" I said, "Oh yeah, you're really abusing me here, aren't you? No, I just got it hung. Now you want me to take it back?" I said, "Yeah, I'll take it back." So we put it in the back of my truck, and she comes with me, and we go over to Walmart. She works at Walmart, and she says, "Okay, you stand in the line to return the mirror, and I'll run back and get another one, and we'll come back, and then I'll come back and meet you back up here." So I said, "All right, that works." I was thinking about the same thing myself. So I got this mirror, this full-height mirror I'm holding in my hand like this. Well, she comes back, and she has this other one that's in a cardboard case. You can see it's a mirror, but it's in a cardboard case, and so we're standing there talking, and we're next in line, and I say to her, I said, I was holding the mirror on my side like this, and I said, "Who's that in the mirror right there?" And she goes, "That's Jesus." And I said, "Right, that's the right thing to say, girl, you know." Then all of a sudden, this guy behind me's craning his neck to look and see where Jesus is in the mirror. He didn't understand it at all. And it was funny. I was just laughing. And she said the perfect thing, and he just topped it off, so to speak.
Just reeled him in, didn't you?
Yeah. That's 2 Corinthians 3:18.
Yep.
And we look in the mirror and see Jesus.
Yep.
And we're transformed into his image by the Spirit of the Lord. But this guy didn't understand it at all. He's craning his neck looking for Jesus.
That Baptist is looking for Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Classic.
Amen. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Just to give a little testimony about that mirror. The Lord told her to get that mirror, but she didn't want to spend, you know, a whole bunch of money on that. But it was quite a bit of money. I don't remember how much. So she put it in layaway, thinking, okay, and I'll pay it off when I have the funds. And so she paid a little bit up front. And later on, when she had the funds, she went to go pay it. And she only owed like $5 on it because somebody went and paid the remaining balance up until the $5.
Oh, really? Awesome.
And she said she went to everybody she knew that she told the mirror about, you know, and nobody made the payment on that account. So she's like, Jesus did it.
Amen. Amen. That's a good story there. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Tom is a blessing. Yeah. All right. Anybody else? I did want to say something. David asked me to mention to you that everybody needs to listen to those last few broadcasts, David. I think there's three of them. God warns of coming pestilence, especially the one he did Sunday. I've listened to it twice. You get something out of it every time. We need to be, you know, vigilant and diligent in our walk with Christ in order to be like John G. Lake when they got the bubonic plague over there in South Africa. Don't worry about it. Just go do what God wants you to do. But you have to be listening to the Lord. And we need to be in prayer mode most of the time, you know, listening to the Lord. And the Lord has been showing me, I mean, I've been doing the lot thing for lots of years, and he's weaned me off of that, weaning me off of it. He won't answer me anymore, hardly ever, with the lot thing, and it's all coming through words that he's given me. So, you know, and that's where he wants every one of us, because, you know, you might be out there sometime without. And you need to be listening to the Lord all the time. I need to be listening to the Lord all the time. I'm not, but I want to be in that place to where God is talking to me all the time. Take a left, take a right, go straight, go left, go backwards, go, you know, whatever. And I think that's what God is wanting all of us to do, is to be in that special place every day and asking God before you ever go anywhere, What is it you want me to do today, Lord? And Lord, would you guide me and direct me all day long? And that's something that he's really been hammering home to me this past year, is to get into that special, as Pam calls it, her secret place. She's got a secret place that she goes and talks to the Lord. And we all need a secret place to go talk to the Lord, where we can talk to him by ourselves. And that's because of the things that are coming. We'll know what to do, because he's going to tell us. And also, while I was there, I looked down through there and I saw Escape the Falling Away is another one. If you haven't listened to it, we all need to be listening to that one as well. Because there is coming a great falling away. Because when this, you just think about it. When you see thousands and thousands of people dying around you, from what I understand, is millions are going to die during this pestilence. And they're going to be literally bodies everywhere. They're not going to have enough cemeteries to keep them in. They're going to have to dig big holes to throw them off in. Who's going to do that? You know, what you're going to do? A lot of people are going to be losing their faith because they see this destruction and they don't understand faith. We do, but we need to practice it more and more and more. Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
I just sent you a email about three different plagues. Monkeypox in Africa, Legionnaire's disease in Connecticut, and another one in Japan. And so there's people that are dying all over from different plagues right now. And any one of those could take off.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's on on your.
Okay, I'll take it out. Check it out.
I have something else, but it's
yeah, totally go ahead.
Subject. I'll let you go ahead and finish what you're talking about, because I think that's necessary, and then I'll tell you about my day.
Okay, well, from what we've learned through alternate news media is this outer space stuff, and of course, you know about the dreams that Eve had about this pox that's coming. There's not going to be a cure for it. No cure. No, they're not going to. But, you know, they can run and hide, but you can't hide. You can't hide from God. But it's going to be so the church will come back to him. That's what it's going to be for, to help the church come back to him. Anyway, I better hush. Go ahead, Leah.
Well, you were talking about listening to God, go this way, go that way, do this, do that, you know. I had a big day plan today. I was going up to Maryville to visit Home Depot and Lowe's and go to the tile store and so forth. And then just before the morning service started, I got a call from she called me up and she said, hey, I got a flat and I'm over here picking up Yelena and can you come get it? And I said, well, sure, you know. So I went over and got him and came back and we stayed for the meeting, and then I was gonna take him and change the tire real quick and then go to Maryville, but that it didn't work out like that. I said to Sue on the way back, I said, have you got a spare? And she goes, yeah. You got a jack? She goes, yeah. And I said, okay, all right, well, we'll change that and I'll be on my way. Well, we get there and so her flat is on the front wheel and her spare is flat too. So we got no flat, okay. Then I couldn't get the jack to work, okay. So we had to go buy a jack and, she didn't have a wrench for the lug nuts either. So mine fit, but it's just it's got one bar, not the four-way, you know. So we went to the store and bought a four-way and a jack and came back. So then we took off both tires, or took off the one tire that was flat plus our spare. Then we went and got those fixed, came back, and I changed it to, well, now it's 12:30 in the afternoon. And so I had some running around to do in town by the time. I never made it to Maryville. But you know what? It was okay. I was mad. Not at Sue, because the person sold her the car and had a tire and a jack and all that stuff, and none of it worked. But I was just mad about it. And then I thought, you know what? This is all in God's plan. It's fine. So we joked and laughed and had a good time anyway. So
amen.
You got to listen to God and you got to be able to roll with the punches.
Amen. So. Yeah. And flats can be a flesh killer. I'm telling you, they can be a flesh killer. Yep. By the way, that bumper jack, I think, and that four ways in the back of that Dodge, if you ever need it. Too late.
Don't you have the Dodge with you?
No.
You have a Ford with you.
I got the Ford Ranger. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? It doesn't have to be a story. It can be a testimony or a praise report. Yeah, Matt.
I just wanted to say yesterday, I was really under a lot of attack, and so I started singing this one song, you know, just kind of bring peace about. And I went to the prayer meeting last night, and we had our worship service, and the first song we played was that song that, you know, I was singing earlier that day. I was like, oh God, you're so awesome. just how, you know, he heard me, and he knew that, you know, I needed that little extra encouragement, you know, and it was just so awesome.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? What's the subject tonight? Fear of God? Oh, I thank you for all this support I'm getting here.
I think it was why we shouldn't fear or have no fear. I think that was the subject.
Okay.
Why we shouldn't fear.
You talking about fear of the world. Fear of
the only one we should be, the only one we should be fearing is God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not to be fearful. Fear is a spirit, and it is from the enemy.
Okay, but before we do, I'd like to play a video from the blog, local blog, that I didn't get to listen to all of it, so y'all get to listen to it with me. But what I did listen to it, it was awesome. And it's Eric something or other about the gospel. Yeah, Julie, go ahead. Oh, that's a thumbs up. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and play that. And let's see here if I can do this without too much trouble. Turn your stereos on. Well, hang on. All right, let me see here. Can you hear me?
To introduce you to the gospel right now. You are a rebel. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, I'll tell you straight up. You are a rebel against the living God. This is your natural disposition. Why? Because you are born in sin. We are in a prison cell. And it takes the awakening and the grace of God. You call it the prevenient grace of God to awaken us to the fact that we are lost and we can't get out. We're headed towards destruction fast. The enemy, because of our rebellion against God, has legal rights to harm and harass our life. There you are behind the prison cell. Help! I need out! You can't get out. Those prison bars are stronger than any atom. No way you're stronger than diamonds. It is impenetrable. You cannot escape. You're doomed. When the enemy comes in the very end and he's going to finish you off, he has legal right to do it. He will relish every minute of it. In the soul, your intercessor. You're mine. And he stands with you and that accuser. That was rightfully yours. He takes the blood. There was an end for you. That is an extraordinary reality. He was turned to a pulp. And he actually died. God died for you. All of your prison cell has always said condemned. Separated. Eternal from God. Guilty. And suddenly it switches. You realize Jesus Christ is on. It says justified. It says forgiven. Redeemed. Here, most of us have stopped with the good news right there. The blood of Jesus Christ has been shed. He was guilty. I want you to know that is unbelievable news. But we are still in a prison. So praise God for the prison cell. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for changing on me. And God's word says, the door to the prison cell? Because my blood shed more than just forgiveness. Forgiveness was the avenue through which he could make the escape for us. He isn't just interested in dealing with the consequences of the penalty of sin. He also dealt with the problem of sin. That's already locked. The door to prison cell is unlocked. What else smells the open air of freedom and liberty in the light of Christ? When you get outside prison cell, my security's waiting. Emissaries from the king, and they say to keep and choose. And how bizarre it is when you realize that you were a rebel? That you are deserving completely that the living God has given up life for you. And now he has set you free, and now the very king is asking you into his presence. You're going to kill a rebel. I stood against God, asking his face. How could he want me? The king said, no, he doesn't share it. And as you're pulling into the kingdom, you're looking where they are. You're looking for the future. You're saying, where are you taking me? Well, into the very near presence of the king. He wants you to live right where he lives. Not just the penalty, not just the problem, but an invitation to the very near presence. Asking the emissary there. He wants to adopt you, his child. We are about to get invited here to share his heart. To come and tell me broken before the reality of what he's done for you. I deserve this. Why have you done this for me? I love you. I have a commission for you. You want to work for you? I'll do what you want to represent me. Absolutely. And if you tell me, I need to go back to that prison cell that I just got. There's a whole bunch more that need to know about me, my love, my truth. Will you go for me? In a heartbeat. I would surprise you. Hey, what do you ask? Before I know. I'm going to do it. And you'll be as sheep and wolves. I'll kill you. They'll destroy you, they'll hate you, persecute you. They'll do whatever they can harm you. Men, I don't give a shit, you're for me, I will gladly shed my blood for you. Take my body, take my blood, anything you want. I belong to you in infinite. Take me, Lord Jesus. Send me. Commission, not just the penalty, not just the problem, not just the invitation to your presence, not just the adoption as a son and a daughter of the King of Kings, but we are commissioned to represent him. And I want you to realize that it's first of all their privilege to bear the very name, the very image, the very reputation of God Almighty. He said, let's go. Go, disciples of all men. Go and be unashamed of my gospel and preach it. Go, rescue lost in the power of my presence. Let's wait for you to receive the reward of his suffering. Hold up. This should be intent with his blessing. He says, oh, wait, there's money. Not just heaven, not just love. Not just the invitation to his very nearness. Not just adoption as a son or son of the king. Not just the commission. The cast down. He says, good, you can set all up into one ball and it still falls short of the final. Because this final is so calm to the church. But they're extraordinary, so they head for turns of the aisle. For you go. What do you do? Perfect. I don't care. I'm willing to do whatever you ask of me. I'm sending you out. You're my children, mothers. Would you give me body? And I will come to make my home. And I will take those hands and place yours in my hand. I will take out the people's feet. My words will be not see, but I need you to be seen in this world. And you are so hard of this one, and this lens. And thank God Almighty, assuming Almighty is not forgotten. Help this children. And we stand all that presence with the authority in the name of Jesus. And we will back down. Because do not help the war to lose. We help the war win. Our marks, all the forces of hell through falling into the land. Because this is the moment. That's the gospel. The gospel of all the earth hell. And done through the universe. The man will not be involved. And even though we are weak, even though we're physically weak, spiritually greater than any of the pagan world. This is good news. Stand in the light of the sun. Today in the church, we need to rise up. Pray to God. I will see you. Give us a take from the Lord. Don't descend. Send us burn life within our souls. Cannot be worse. We cannot be worse. Even though we're willing to do it without you. Will you know this? Will we ever come? You can't go on your own. You don't have to look around. You have to fail and mutter. Your God is made to do it in and through you. You can't. But you can't muster the support. You can't muster up the intellect. You can't muster the strength. You can't muster perseverance and fortitude. You can't. You can't love the love. You can't love the spirit on your face. You can't. Don't pray that God teach you how to love you. Pray that you would see you with him. He loves you. Pray that you would teach me, boy. Pray to live the gospel, boy, with your angel. Don't pray that you would teach his people. Ask for the God to be to instill you. Because if you can't imitate in your own strength, you will be a miserable replica. But you allow the impartation of Jesus to overtake you. Suddenly, it all works. Because it's him imitating himself. And he's very good at being God.
Oh man, that was powerful. That kind of goes along with what we're talking about tonight, right? Yeah, Missy.
I watched that earlier and watching it again, and you know, what came to my mind that didn't come to me the first time, you know, thinking about that ending part, but what came to me was, now that's an overcomer.
Mm-hmm. Amen. When you understand who's inside of you, Who's directing traffic? Who's doing all of these things? You don't have to worry about it. Man, you know, as y'all probably already know, I read a lot of John G. Lake because this man had, he knew who was in him. He knew who was guiding him. And he didn't have to worry about anything.
Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
That's right. Praise God. When people get a revelation of that, Missy, they're going to be able to walk during any kind of pestilence or any kind of thing that's going around there and be a light to everybody else. How come you ain't worried about what's going on around you? Oh, because God did it. I'm one of God's. I don't have to worry about it because he's got me. He's got me right there. Don't you want that? That's what you got, you know. Then that's where your commission comes in.
In the secret place of the Most High.
That's right.
Psalm 91.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Anybody else want to make a comment on the gospel? Yeah, Missy. I'll get you in a minute, Julie.
I was thinking, you know, about that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and you talking about John G. Lake and the bubonic plague and how they put the plague disease or whatever in his hand and they saw it die, you know. Well, he says that's the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you know, that overcomes the law of sin and death, you know. But it's, yeah, I mean, it's Jesus. It's when you really, you know, that, I mean, it's so amazing. I mean, I watched that video earlier, and maybe it was just because, you know, just things going on around me, but watching it the second time, and, you know, oftentimes, you know, I'll be thinking about something or whatever, and then I'll talk to somebody about it. And the Lord will give me, just because I'm with another believer that has the Spirit of God, things, the Lord will show me things that I didn't see, or I'll say things related to what I had been thinking about or whatever. And it's like the fact that I'm sitting here and I listen to that with you all, you know, the Spirit of Christ in you, it's like, I'm just like pumped after watching that,
mm-hmm.
You know? And it's just the Spirit in you all, you know, it's just is so energizing, you know, all of us together. And I'm just like so encouraged by that. Yeah, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Christ in me is the one that killed that plague in his hand. Christ in him. That's the power of God to them that believe. Mm-hmm. The power of God. How's that? What's that? The gospel is the power of God to the unto salvation to them that believe.
Yep.
The power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Wow.
Yeah, that's the law of the Spirit of the life of Christ in each one of us. If you remember, Lake said that those doctors hooked him up one time, and they saw the cells expand inside of him just so many times. Hey, Julie. Judy. Go ahead, Julie.
I was just going to add that the Lord reminds me at times, maybe as my mind's wandering or I'm getting doubtful about something or whatever, but I'll hear him say that these thoughts come into my mind. I know it's the Lord reminding me. He'll just remind me, just say, believe who you are. Believe who you are. You know, we are all becoming, we all are the Word made flesh. is Christ in us. We are who he says we are, and not what, I mean, we got to forget the things that lie behind. We have to forget our old, everything we were, and know that the power is in us by faith and believing. That's all I just wanted to add to that. Just the same kind of, repeating it to yourself, whatever you have to do, get it in you. Read it out loud. Read the scriptures out loud.
Well, like Leon was talking about earlier, looking at Mary and see Jesus, You see Jesus every day. You know that Jesus is with you. If you know Jesus is with you, what you got to worry about? Nothing. All right. Anybody else? Judy, you missed it. Hon, I'm sorry. You just missed it. We just played a video. What's
that? I got you on the phone, and I got you on the iPad. Well, I couldn't get you on with the iPad.
Oh, yeah?
My internet wouldn't connect.
Huh.
And somehow, I'm connected by Dawn's internet. I don't know how that happened.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'd say, too. Mm-hmm. So stealing internet.
On there no matter what, huh? Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Are you showing?
That one that Greg posted.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll look at it.
Yeah, I'll look at it later. It's a good one.
Good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Well, while I'm on, could I say a prayer?
Yes, ma'am, you can. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I want to say for my daughters, the Lord just has them chastening them with a lot of health problems, but if that's what has to be done, that what has to be done. But I just like to bring them up and ask the Lord for maybe better health for them. And also, my oldest one goes to trial, a court date on January the 2nd. And I know whatever she gets, she deserves. But, as a mother, I'm asking the Lord for mercy and grace that she gets house arrest. But if the Lord, if she has to have the other, where she sits in jail a couple years, well, whatever it takes to bring her to the Lord, that's what I want. But, Lord, I just want to raise up both Angie and Amy to you. And I ask that you have mercy and grace on them and show them that you're the one that heals and you're the one that takes care of them and that you always be with them no matter what's going on with them. And I thank you so much, Lord, for that. And then also I want to add that, Lord, please give me that faith that you were talking about. I mean, I believe I have it. But, Lord, just give me more faith. Believe everything that you says in the scriptures and all your promises. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Who lives inside of you, Judy?
Well, Jesus does.
Okay. If Jesus lives inside of you, who can defeat you?
No one.
Amen. You go, girl.
Okay.
All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Y'all going to have to help me out now. I'm getting kind of scratchy here. I didn't receive it. Come on, Missy. I see you over there shaking your head.
Michael?
Yes, go ahead, Gano.
I was just going to share a verse. We're all believing for things from the Lord. And the verse that I was going to share is from Luke. And it's, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And these things that we are believing for are from his kingdom. And I just thought that was a good verse, and it sort of goes with what we're talking about tonight. Fear not.
Amen. That's Luke what?
Luke 12, verse 32.
Okay. Praise God. All right, anybody else? All right, what about fear not? Has anybody got, you know, I kind of went on in another direction. I've been on it today more on the fear of God than I did of being fearless. So y'all go ahead. Okay, I'll just pick somebody. Let's see here. Matt, what'd you come up with today on being fearless with God? Leon, you're next.
Well, all I have to say is why you throw me under the bus. to be honest with you, I have been reading a lot lately because I've been off, so I've been having a lot of time to do that. And I've always kind of known that there's a wrong kind of fear and a right kind of fear to have towards the Lord. And of course, the way I was brought up, I always had the wrong kind of fear towards the Lord, because I can only base him off of my physical father, you know, how he raised me and everything. And it was just, that's kind of how I pictured my heavenly father to be, like, you know, very angry when I failed or disappointed, and just, you know, he's always upset with me, mad with me, you know, angry when I failed, or just, you know, shaking his head, you know, condescending, you know, in a way. And and recently, you know, I've been rethinking that whole thing and how it's really not the fear that God wants us to have towards him, you know. It's not that love, you know, he gave us, especially reading this book, Predestined, Called, and Elect, you know. The new book that we're studying, but it kind of puts a picture in mind of how he, you know, he loves you, he saved you, he gave you the gift of repentance, he gave you grace so that you can be saved, he gives you the faith to believe, and in the end, he gives you the reward of believing, you know, acting on that faith. And that doesn't sound like a God that gets angry when you fail, or mad at you when you fail, or condescending, you know. And how he, you know, he's an all-powerful God, and obviously Jesus said to fear him who has power to destroy both body and soul in hell. And, you know, it's more of a reverence fear there, but, you know, as a fear, as more of a love, you know, to honor him and obey him and want to do his will. And that's kind of what I've been going over a lot recently, you know, as that kind of fear in my life. Of course, I could go over a lot more, but I'll let other people talk.
Well, all right. That sounds pretty good. You know, that's what happens to a lot of people, is they think God, they relate to God like they related to their natural father. And a lot of times the natural father was nowhere near, had nowhere near the grace that God has with us. And it's kind of hard for some people to understand who God is. But praise God, the word sorts it out for us. Okay, anybody else want to talk about fearlessness? Leon.
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Marlon. You got saved by the bell there, Leon.
Yeah. Well, I guess to me, one thing about the fear of the Lord always was, you know, it's just really evident in a lot of people's lives that they think the Lord isn't there watching no matter what you're doing. And to me, that was really one of the things that's fear of the Lord is knowing that he's always there. You can't get any place where you don't know what you're doing or what you're thinking. And I guess to me, that was one of the things that always stood out about the fear of the Lord to me.
Well, amen. That's kind of the avenue I took, Marlon. Most of the church world doesn't have a good, healthy fear of the Lord, or they wouldn't be doing the things that they're doing or preaching the things that they're preaching. And but anyway, that's,
yeah. I had a neighbor. He wanted me to harvest some stuff off of the field that, you know, it's in the government program, and you're not supposed to harvest that. And he said, "Well, nobody will know. You know, you're out here, nobody will know." I said, "Well, yeah, the Lord will know. That's the difference."
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I ran across something like that the other day. I forget what it was, but it was against the law. And they said, "Well, who's going to know?" And I said, "The Lord would. We as Christians don't do that." So anyway, you're right. We have to be cognizant of the fact that Jesus is watching all the time. The Lord knows what goes on. Well, all right. You got something, Leah?
Not really. I was just thinking though about what you guys were saying. You know, I never did fear the Lord. You know, when I was lost, I just went about my business. I didn't think about the Lord. I didn't, you know, if somebody came to the door or something, I might say, "Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about," but I just went about my business and didn't do anything. But I'm beginning to fear the Lord, you know. I'm getting a greater respect for the fear of the Lord. But honestly, I didn't do any study today. I was going to Maryville, and I didn't get to go.
I hear you.
I got too busy. But yeah, I'm beginning to fear the Lord, you know, but not in a dreadful sense, but just a real respect for the Lord and what he can do. And I'm getting more knowledge like that, and I guess that's it.
Well, like you're talking about the sovereignty that we've learned since we've, you know, been in this ministry, teaches us to have a reverential fear of the Lord, because he knows, he's already orchestrated what's going on, you know. Yeah, Matt.
I was just going to say, you know, along with what Marlon was saying, that Jonah thought he could run from the Lord. You know, "Oh, I'll go here. He's not here," you know. The Lord put a stop to that pretty quickly.
Yep. You find yourself inside of a big fish trying to run from the Lord. Oh, you can't run from the Lord. These people, these elite that think they're going to run away from this pestilence are badly mistaken, because it's coming from the Lord. Judy, what do you have on the fear of the Lord, or the fear lessness of people of God? Did you study anything today on that? I'm gonna hit everybody. You ain't the only one.
I didn't know that's what it was.
What do you think it was? You go ahead and talk on what you think it was.
Well, you just have to know, when you know that the Lord knows everything and he knows what you're doing, well, you don't want to do things that don't please him. So that gives you the fear that, well, I'm going to do everything I can do to please him.
Yeah. Amen. All right. All right. Andrew, what you got, brother?
Well, I'll vouch for the fact that the Lord knows quite a many things that goes on in your mind. Because I remember that one time I was waiting at the bus stop, and all these buses, I was going to work, and the buses were going by, you know, out of service. And I'm going, Lord, why are all these buses going by out of service? Why doesn't one of them stop and pick us up and take us to the mall so we can get our extension? And the next bus came up and stopped. And he said, I'm only going as far as Billings Ridge Plaza. You can get on for there. And then I went, uh-oh. He knows everything that goes on in your mind. I remember saying that on this. And that's what it brought to memory there. That's how much of a reverence you should have for the Lord. He knows everything. He knows when you're talking about the buses that are going by, you know. He knows when you're going to maybe go and goof off and maybe watch a movie or something. And he knows everything. You know, he knows what you're thinking about everybody else. And I don't want to think anything wrong about anybody. So, you know, it gives me a reverence for God's body, too. And this is God's body here. We're the eyes, the ears, the heart, the hands, and the lock of the Lord's here. And there is a verse that did pop into my head. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. That's the King James Version. And, you know, you got to cast it out. It said it right there in that verse. And there's a lot of casting in the Bible there, where it says to cast out the stuff. And we just got to know where all those, it's not fishing. It's casting. It's casting it out of you. It's just nice to have that and that ability to know that you're written in the book of life, because you have authority through Christ over these spirits, and we don't rejoice in that. We just rejoice that we have our names written in heaven. So. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you, Lord.
I too thought it was a study on the fear of the Lord rather than the other fear.
Yeah, I did too. Okay, Missy, what you got?
You see the smoke coming out of my ears or something. I'm sitting here thinking. You know, I was just thinking that I was probably like, let me think here. About 10 years ago, maybe 10, 11 years ago, I had, let me just say this first. I was taught, and I don't think I ever believed it, hook, line, and sinker. But I was taught, you know, that you can't lose your salvation. I wasn't taught, you know, it was just twisted. But anyway, they didn't use the terminology once saved, always saved. You know, you can't lose. What they would say was, you can't lose your salvation, you know.
Yeah, they didn't think it was a progressive type of a salvation, right?
Well, I can't even explain it. It's so twisted.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I had fallen into sin, and I'd fallen good. That's an oxymoron, but but anyway, and when the Lord finally got my attention and got me to repent, I had the fear of God in me, and you couldn't tell me that, I mean, I had the fear of God in me that, you know, that if I hadn't repented, and even actually I was in the midst of repenting, and I had the fear of God of going to hell, you know. And so, yeah.
Did you feel like that God had left you? Did you have a sinking feeling that God had left you?
Oh, gosh. I got to think about that.
That's a yes or no. That's a yes or no.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to think. Cause, well, I don't know if I necessarily... I was afraid that he had left me. I didn't know for sure that he did or he didn't, you know.
Yeah.
But I think you could say I was afraid that the Lord had left me. Yeah, I guess I couldn't say decisively that I felt like he did. I had the fear that he did, and that having been said, you know, fear of hell, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
And,
I had this sinking feeling that God had left me here years ago, and that's not a good place to be. It scared me. I have a reverential fear of God. A lot of people don't have. Go ahead, Leah.
Yeah,
go ahead, Leah. You want me to unmute you? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. You can hear me now, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, like Missy, I fell away too for a period of time. But the Lord actually said to me, he said, this is your last chance. So I knew he was still with me. But he was on the verge of tossing me over. So, yeah, it was very interesting. But I do know that the Holy Spirit had retreated. He hadn't totally left me, but he had retreated. And... I had to come back and prove myself, so to speak.
Well, I had to throw snot and cry and do all that kind of stuff and when I was in that state, and it was scary for me. It was real scary. Okay, let's see. Hey, Kurt, did you get anything? I'll unmute you. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, there was a period of time that I had fallen away too, and it's scary. That's all I can say. I was terribly ashamed, and I felt like God had... I guess I felt like it was my last chance too. I mean, I just appreciate that he's loving and forgiving, and he's there. You can't go anywhere. What was that one place, the deepest part of the sea or the highest part of heaven? No matter where you go, he's there. You can't get away. So I just appreciate his loving kindness on my part.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Hey, Joe, what about you, brother? About your fearlessness?
From a very young age, my dad died early. My mom had a stroke. So I learned to trust myself. And first, when I started to know the Lord, I know that was all, you have to depend on anything you do. Lord have to be with you. And otherwise, you're just all by yourself.
Amen. That's kind of the way I felt. I felt like I was out there by myself. The Lord had left me. All right. Leo, can you share something with us? If he's not too busy.
Can you hear me? I'm...
Yes, sir.
Right now, it's got a bad reception. It's really cold out here. Can I get back to you?
Yes, sir, you can.
All right.
All right. Okay, Wade, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yes. I have feared from time to time that my end state would not be good, that Christ would leave me, and it's nothing but the devil, but it scared me from time to time, and I think I've had a bad image of God, you know, that he would leave one of his children once they were established, and so that's about all with me, with fear of God. That one thing is that if he left me in the future, it's as if all is lost, you know, and I believe he loves me and that he's not leaving me, but the enemy attacks me with those thoughts, you know.
That sounds like a spirit of condemnation.
Yeah, probably so. It wasn't for anything in particular, no action in particular, other than the fear of the future, the condemnation of the future.
Wait, remember? Yeah. All right. In the name of Jesus, we command that spirit to go. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that Wade knows who's inside of him. Wade understands that the Lord Jesus Christ is there. The Holy Spirit is there, and all of his power and all of his blessings are with him. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Wade, thank you so much. All right. Megan, you want to share something? She may be snoozing. Judy, did you share something? Not you, Judy. Julie Teague.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
I'm in my car now, but can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, you called on me a little bit. So I had this thing, you know, where I'm not sure how to explain if it's fear or not, but, you know, the Lord's done so much for me in my life, and there's a certain, you know, amount of love and reverence for the Lord, and fear, when I hear the word fear, the number one thing that I hear inside of me is like to fear to displease the Lord, you know, after all that he's done for me, to fear to grieve him, you know, to, and I know that like when I get distracted in life and start allowing my flesh to get the better part of me, it's like I lose that sense of fear towards God. I lose that sense of wanting to always please him. You know, so it's like, it's not that I'm afraid that God's going to leave me, but I have this fear that is a good kind of fear, that it's a fear of losing love towards God, you know? I was kind of looking at it from that sense, and I know that when I lose that fear of being displeasing to the Lord, I start to indulge in the flesh, and it just throws red flags up in my, you know, for me in my personal life that's what fear for me is, you know, to lose the love of God in my heart.
That's a healthy love. I mean, fear. That's a healthy fear. Praise God. That's good, Leah. Thank you. All right, Julie.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I can kind of relate to what Wade was talking about, and it is, you know, there's a fear of rejection, there's condemnation, there's fears of losing your salvation. There's a whole arsenal the enemy has of different kind of fears. There's all kinds of phobias. And the enemy wants to take you out. He'll try fear. He'll use condemnation, whatever. And I battle through a lot of that at times. And I was like, I kept thinking I had done something wrong. Like, why am I going through all this? Why am I having such all this stuff attacking me? And that's what I felt like. And the Lord has just been strengthening my faith through all of it and teaching me that it is a warfare, and to know who I am in Christ, to know my authority. And I don't know if ever any of you have ever had that the presence of fear in your room or whatever. And that was, I mean, he's just, we have to be tried in a lot of things to overcome, and whatever it is that, you know, the Lord has planned to use us in the future, that we have absolutely no fear. So know, I guess, to know that when that, anything like that comes on you, that is, it's not God, and you are to make war with it. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And it is, as Gaynold brought the scripture out about how it's, you know, to fear not, my little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's ours by faith, and it's ours. And but there's a warfare that has to be battled to take it. And we all are overcomers, or we wouldn't still be sitting in, you know, here. And just to make war on any kind of fear or doubt or anxiety or whatever it is that comes on you. That, you know, a lot of times you just have to really check your heart. Did I do something? Because that's what the enemy would use on me. I've done something wrong. And hit me with condemnation, then hit me with anxiety and worry that, hold on, it's like, wait a minute. Like, check your heart. What did you do? Nothing. Okay. Well, get up there and fight, you know, get your armor on, get up there and fight, and fight and overcome, because Christ is in you to do it. And it's gonna, and he's just, in doing that, he's strengthening my faith and my, sharpening my swords, and, you know, it's the spirit, the sword of the spirit, and keeping the armor on, so whatever you're, you know, whatever we have to go through, he's preparing. I mean, a long time ago, when I realized we were going to be going through the tribulation, that I was going to be here, I'm like, Lord, I am not ready. You got to make me ready, prepare me, make me ready. So that's what he's been doing, is making me ready. And, anyhow, just be encouraged that, you are all more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens you.
Amen. Amen. I was doing something here. Okay. That was good. Anybody else?
Michael?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, Gaynell.
You know, I just wanted to thank Julie for sharing, because I just was going through everything she talked about this morning, and I just really appreciated that. It's like I'm not the only one going through this, and I thank the Lord that she shared that, and I know I'm an overcomer, and I just will cast down the lies of the enemy. That was all. Thank you.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Yeah, Missy.
First, it just came to me talking about all this is, fear not, for I have overcome the world.
Amen.
Which goes along with, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You know, it's just, you know, what I said earlier. Now that's an overcomer, you know. Fear not, for I have overcome the world. And who is it that is in us? He's the overcomer, amen. Isn't it? So, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. You see that? That's Jesus' muscle. There you go. Excuse me. Yeah, that's Jesus' muscle. We got authority over the whole world. Praise God. Amen. All right, anybody else? Well, you know, I have something that I can show. I don't think I've shown this before. I don't think I have. It's a Fear of God compilation. Y'all know what that is? That comes from Sermon Index, and it's a number of preachers talking about the fear of God. And it's about 20 minutes long. Do y'all want to listen to it? It's pretty interesting. I like it. And it kind of put the fear of God in perspective as far as the apostate church goes. So, y'all want to hear it? Because I ain't going to sit here and talk. Amen. Okay, let's see what we got here. All right.
Word.
Can y'all hear it?
Let us tremble this morning.
Can y'all hear it?
If ever there was a time that you and I fully embraced the heart of God and the will of God and the ways of God and the word of God, oh beloved, it's now. There was a time in this country when I'm sure you would walk in the house of the Lord, and if you were living in willful sin, you would tremble in awe. There was a reverence of God. There was a sense of God's holiness.
There's very little of the fear of God among today's Christians.
And I want to tell you, God is no grandfather. He's not one who just ignores anything you do, like grandfathers do. What did we read in 1 Peter 1? Spend your entire life on earth. This is not Old Testament, this is New Testament. It's the Apostle Peter writing 30 years after the day of Pentecost. Spend your entire life on earth in fear. The same word. I'm supposed to live my entire life on earth, 1 Peter 1:17, in fear. In fear of what? Fear of God.
1 Peter 1:17, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's works, then conduct yourselves in fear during this time of your stay on earth.
But there was a trembling.
There was a time in this country when you walked in the house of God and you knew if you were living in sin, you were going to be confronted.
Paul speaks in Romans 11 about the severity and the goodness of God. In what connection? In his dealing with this ancient people. There's no fear in the church for God. The fear of God is absent from the church, and that's why we take the horrendous liberties that we do. For how shall we fear him if we have not known his severity, his judgments, his dealings, how far he will go, even with his own ancient people who are yet the apple of his eye despite their fallenness.
Even in the church, we've lost our sense of the holiness of God. You know, Charles Wesley gave us that lovely children's hymn, Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon the little child. But, you know, some people never get past gentle Jesus.
Has lost the fear of God. There's no fear of God left in the land. This is what the Bible says. The fear of the Lord, fear the Lord and depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from their evil. From the fear of the Lord.
A reverent fear of God, which brings freedom. And it's because many Christians do not have that reverent fear of God that they don't come into freedom.
Call it what you want, reverential awe. Call it what you want. But there's such a thing as remember that God is not mocked. There's such a thing as looking at the majesty and holiness of God.
But a one-sided Christianity, which always spoke about, always be sure you're accepted before God. God loves you, brother. Don't be, remember God loves you just as you are. His love is unconditional. It's all true. But if you only look at that, you've got one side of God, and you've got a one-sided God, and you'll see the end result of that in the way you live. The other is the fear that I may hurt God.
There is no awe, no sense of fear, no deep respect that he's a living God and a seeing and a knowing God. And we can't get away with our little gitchy goo and cutting corners as if he does not observe it.
Tell you what, it's a very different picture in the Word of God. I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ needs a new revelation of the majesty of God.
The remarkable thing is, he lets it go on, and he's silent, and we assume that either he has condoned it or he's not seen it until the day comes.
It's interesting that the first time the Holy Spirit uses the phrase the fear of God is in relation to sexual sin. As I meditated on it, the Lord showed me that it is through sexual temptation more than in any other area that I test whether men especially fear me or not.
You will one day stand before that throne, and you will be judged before that throne in perfect righteousness.
We're not like Paul, who always lived in the conscious sense of the judge and the day of judgment, and that we shall be held accountable for every idle word that we speak, and that all that we have done in our bodies, both good and bad, will one day come before us when we stand before the judgment of God.
Folks, what's it going to be like? And I've tried to imagine this. What is it going to be like when we stand before the throne? Every pastor, every evangelist, when I stand there, everyone in this pulpit stands there, and everyone who's ever taken the gospel to their lips. And we stand before a holy Christ, and the books are opened. I can't bear the thought that I would have preached for 20 years here in New York City from this pulpit. And
in my day, the thing that was so heavy on his heart was the false prophets told him what they wanted to hear, and the people actually walked. And he was up in the court of the Lord. People said, would you get this guy to shut up? Tear this guy. He won't hear this anymore.
And you see, if you have no fear of God, you have to invent the gospel from beach.
There's all kinds of people out there, followings. You just turn on some of the Christian television, it's sick. And they got people right all over the whole country. and then anything close. But because of the deliberation among people, they know genuine from the false, because only through knowing God's word are we going to know what's true. Amen?
And this is what's happened in America and around the world. You see, man can't live in that nonsense. And that's the Holy Spirit. Because there's nothing in the judgment. There's a day of standing before God to give an account. And the Bible makes it very clear, there's a heaven and there's a hell. And there's a day we're going to have to give a, there's a hell. And Jesus said there's a hell of fire and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, a darkness that can be felt.
A lot of us share God's word here and there. Paul says how he preached. He says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 3, when I came preaching to you, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in trembling. Preaching with fear and trembling? Where do we hear of that today? People who preach afraid lest they may say something God doesn't want them to say.
I've heard so many preachers say God doesn't throw anybody into hell. My dear friend, He does. Jesus told us that He does. Fear Him who not only can kill the body, but afterwards take your body and your soul and throw you in hell. It is God who throws in hell. You say, well, I just don't like this kind of Christianity. I'm sorry, it's the only one that you've got.
Repent or be damned. Well, thank God someone's still crying it out. Because that's the whole Bible, from the heart of the God of love that you say wouldn't say those words you liberal theologians. Shame on you. Sending people to hell just so you can have a job. What you don't give from this book, sir, God will require of you, and their blood will be in your hands. You better start preaching truth or get out of the pulpit, you liberal theologians. You're in for a terrible shock. In the next moment, you'll be in front of God, not only with your own soul to give account for, but those you kept from truth.
But today, a whole lot of people are learning about grace who haven't learned about the fear of God. And you got to learn the fear of God before you can appreciate the grace of God. Otherwise, you'll get a false grace. The reverence for God is an essential component of the true grace of God. A grace of God that does not include a reverential fear of God is a false grace. Verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, and fear God. This is the true grace of God. A grace of God which does not include the fear of God is a false grace.
If you don't contend and fall into a kind of a slipshod, easy casualness, you are almost guaranteeing your deception. I would hate to die in that condition, because in whatever condition we end this life, or in the Lord's coming, in that condition we eternally remain. There is no remedy. There's a finality. There's closure.
And there's no mercy. Mercy is gone forever.
And I believe that many Christians are worshipping a false god. God of their imagination, who's a grandfather, who just allows them to do what they like.
Better is a little with the fear of the Lord, than great treasure. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord, than great treasure and trouble therewith. Trouble therewith.
And it will come, let me tell you. You're dealing with a holy God before the day of judgment, sir. And if you're saved, you're dealing with a God that will chasten you so that you crawl in the school of God. Don't play the fool with God, sir. Or His name if you touch it and carry it. And think these things will never happen to you. Concerning integrity with money.
That's the reason why we have so many lovers of money in Christendom. That's the reason why we have so many divorces in Western countries anyway, in Christendom today. That's the reason why so many fine young believers are defeated by the lust of the eyes 365 days of the year. That's why there are so many believers who are involved in internet pornography. You think they lack Bible knowledge? They got Bible knowledge oozing out of their ears. But, and their tongue especially. But,
They haven't learned ABC. They haven't learned the fear of the Lord.
But we have to confess, it has not remained primary. It's secondary at best. It's been lost in the shuffle. Our car, our home, our family, our job, our career, our vocation has pushed out the concern of God.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
That the thing that really impresses God is if all the drums and the music are all going wonderfully and our singing is so beautiful and the parts go so well, but what about the holiness? That's the one thing God is looking for.
Here's what I think fearing God means today. I think fearing God means that God is, in your mind and heart, so powerful and so holy and so awesome that you would not dare to run away from Him, but only run to Him. Fearing God is not another requirement. It's the way you do covenant keeping. It's the way you receive Jesus. It's the way you come to Jesus. You come reverently. You come humbly. You come without any presumption that you deserve anything or He owes you anything. You come trembling, or as we saw in Psalm 51, you come with a heart that is broken and contrite. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Tremble if you ever feel any inclination to leave this God. There is only destruction away from Him.
2 Corinthians 7:1. Since we have these wonderful promises, let us cleanse ourselves from every filthiness, not only of the outward things in the flesh, but the inner things of the spirit, thoughts, attitudes, motives, as much as our words and actions. And how do we do it? We perfect holiness, not in the fear of man, but in the fear of God. Those guys are perfecting holiness in the fear of man. They're afraid of being exposed in the meeting. That's not true holiness. Here it says, be perfect holiness in the fear of God.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. My beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is New Testament. With fear and trembling, I have to work out what God works within me. What God works inside me, I've got to work out not casually, but with fear and trembling. Ooh, that brings a solemn fear of the Lord in my heart. And I persuade men. I say, hey fellas, remember this. You're going to stand before God. And don't think with all these justification gimmicks, you're going to stand there. Verse 21, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Is there a place for that in your life? Fear of Christ. We think these are Old Testament verses. No. Ephesians 5.
We lack a consciousness of God actually as present and seeing and observing not only the things that we say and do, but even the condition of our secret heart when it's silent. You got the picture? What am I commending some kind of legalism and rob you of your charismatic freedom and bring you into some kind of constraint that God is always there seeing and knowing? I'll tell you, dear saints, the greatest malady of the church today is the lack of the fear of God as God.
He will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And
then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
That is where the devil trips us up. A false freedom where we think of God's love, God's love, God's love, God's love, and you go through a whole year without ever hearing about the fear of God. We got so friendly with Jesus that we have lost our reverence for Him.
You need to contend for the faith continually.
And when I hear people singing, you know, put your hand in the hand of him that walks on the water, forget it. Or the new song that's now, shake hands with Jesus. Listen, when you see Jesus, you're not going up and say, hey buddy, I'm glad you died for me. When you see Jesus, you'll be almost paralyzed with fear unless you had a glorified body and a glorified mind. John, the man who had walked with him and talked with him for 3 years, says that when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. What do you think you and I are going to do?
Well, I'll tell you what God looks for. Is there a man who fears me?
Oh, beloved, because God says to this man, will I look?
Whatever it takes! Whatever it takes! Keep me on my knees!
The fear of God.
Said, I've thought many great things, but the greatest thing that I've ever thought of, the most awesome, the most terrifying, the most shattering thought I've ever had is my personal accountability to God one day. Feet are like burnished brass, his face is like the sun in its strength. His eyes are living coals of fire, his tongue is a sharp two-edged sword.
One man who fears God and hates sin with a passion.
No. The man who only wants his sins forgiven is trifling with Christianity.
He who is to be feared.
This is not the time to play games. This is an extremely dangerous time to play games with God.
God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing.
And so I'm going right back to the foundation.
Will you remind people of the goodness and the severity of God?
The most precious thing we ever handle is the human soul. The Pietà one day will go up in dust. The Sistine Chapel will be blown to smithereens. Then the soul of a man will live forever and ever and ever and ever. Either in eternal darkness or eternal bliss. Heaven is impeccable joy. There'll be no sorrow. Hell is eternal misery. There's no joy. There is only one way to heaven. There are a million ways to hell.
If I believe that, and I'm sitting watching an R-rated movie, I believe that, and yet I carry grudges, a revengeful spirit, can't lay down the hurt.
Now the question arises, what is God telling you to stay away from? See, this is where we move towards truth, or we cover our own selves with a garment of religion.
You've heard a lot of things today alone in your mind, just like Abraham heard one night in his bed. God spoke to him, give up your son. You've heard some things today. Nobody else heard it. The person sitting next to you didn't hear it. You're like Abraham. Read Genesis 22. Where he spoke something only to you. Even Sarah sleeping next to him didn't hear it. The person sitting next to you hasn't heard it. Your wife didn't hear it. Your husband didn't hear it. You heard something. Now God is testing you whether you'll obey that or not. Abraham obeyed. God said to him, Genesis 22, now I know that you fear me.
This is a call to each one of us. What is the Holy Spirit telling you right now to walk away from? See, this is where you're going to make a choice. You're going to either cover sin with religion, or you're going to throw off that garment and move towards a holy God and say, Lord, I'm going where you're calling me. Don't put off what God's called you to do. The more you put it off, the greater chance that you'll make peace with it. If you have doubtful practices in your life, put them away. If you have embraced sin, believing erroneously today that there'd be no judgment for it, flee that as quickly as you can. Walk in what is right. The new covenant is a wonderful, wonderful truth, but it's only for the honest Christian. It is not a contract for dishonesty. It is not a covering for willful rebellion, folks, against God. There is no protection for Uzziah, and there is no protection for the person who willfully embraces wrong. If you don't believe that, then read Acts chapter 5 and see what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. That was New Covenant Christianity, and they died by the hand of God. And folks, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Don't ever lose the fear of God. God is wonderful, loving, just, and kind. But you cannot mock Him. You cannot play games with a holy God. There has to be an honesty in the heart.
What I'm giving to you now is the mercy of God, who so loved you that He put you in a seat in this church this day and said, today, now is the time to make it right. But my calling this morning is a watchman, and I'm telling you now what I believe the Holy Spirit is saying. It's time to get right with God. He's saying, I have wooed you so many times. This time, I say to you in great love from the Lord and from His heart, if you pay the price, I'll open doors for you. I'll speak through you, and I'll use you again like you'd have never conceived. But you see, for a few, this is the last call. I say it in the Spirit and with love.
So be careful
what you do with this sermon now, sir. Might be your undoing forever.
Well, all right. I liked what Linda Ravenhill said. It might have been David Wilkerson. He said, there's one way to heaven. There's a million ways to hell. Amen. That's what gets you to hell, is not believing that God will send you to hell. There's a lot of people out there believe that. Lots of them. Hi, Willie. All right. Anybody got anything you want to speak about what we just saw? Yeah, Willie.
Sorry, I'm late, guys. I was talking to, believe it or not, you know, can you hear me? Believe it or not, I was actually talking about that for about 40-something minutes to my ex-wife, the same conversation that the Lord, you know, has been dealing with me about, you know. I'm like, wow, it's amazing. It's a confirmation, you know, that this should have been heard today. Because, you know, what I heard was almost every word that was coming out my mouth, you know, as I was talking to my ex-wife about, you know, examining your soul, you know, and dealing with, you know, those sins in secret places and truly committing yourself to Jesus Christ, you know, and accepting that baptism of fire, you know, when the Spirit searches the inward man, you know, and he finds the root of sin, you know, are you going to accept that baptism of fire? You know, are you going to let him purge that out of you? You know, are you going to get on your knees and truly cry out to God, you know, and have a conviction, you know, let the Holy Spirit create a conviction to serve him? Are you going to be like Peter? You know, as soon as, you know, God challenges you, you know, oh, aren't you the one who walked with him? Oh, I don't know the man. You know? And that's what we do when the Holy Spirit starts dealing with, you know, those sins, those root sins. And the Holy Spirit will show you something. Isn't that I swear I don't know the man. You deny Christ, you know. Don't worry. But yeah, everything I heard was like reiterated back to me on the conversation we had, you know. It's awesome. That's all I got to say, you know. Cool.
Amen. Well, you know, most of the people in the apostate churches, they don't even teach about what happens when you don't obey God. They don't know what happens, you know. They think everything, kumbaya, you know, here we go. We're going to be tiptoeing through the tulips till Jesus comes and gets us before the seven years of tribulation. Now, I can't figure out whether she's raising her hand or she's blocking what I'm saying. Okay, go ahead, Missy.
You know, I find, you know, that Christians have a hard time realizing or even thinking, okay, or even stopping to ask, well, why is this happening? Why is this happening to me over and over? Lord, why is this happening? It's beyond their comprehension that they're reaping what they've sowed. And it baffles me. Like, God wouldn't do that. You know, we know that some of these, well, like there's certain areas of the world that are noted for particular sins, you know, like homosexuality and stuff like that. And God comes and judges that. And for a Christian to say to another Christian that doesn't believe this, you know, well, God was judging that for, you know, their homosexuality, you know, and God wouldn't do that.
But let me just tell you a little bit of something here about Sodom. You know where Sodom is? I'll show you how much God hates sodomy, homosexuality. You know where Sodom is today? It's at the bottom of the Dead Sea. That's how much he hates. There ain't even fishes living around that place. That's how much he hates that sin. Yeah, Leon.
I got a request for the CDs and DVDs that we always send out as a package when people first contact the ministry. And it's from Brazil, Rio de Janeiro. And this guy's email is hotgayteen. And he's requesting the Sovereign God and Hidden Manna package of CDs and DVDs. It just blows me away. Hot gay teen.
Yep. Well, you need to pray for him.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, that took me a little bit. Oh, yeah. The Lord has told us it's an abomination to him. That type of lifestyle is an abomination. That's why the Hollywood crowd hates Christians, because that place over there is eat up with it. You know, eat up with homosexuality, transgender, all of that mess, and heterosexual adultery and whatever. You know, they trade wives and husbands every year or so. God hates that. God really doesn't allow that. Remember what Jesus told the Pharisees when they asked him about, I forget what they asked him, and he said, well, you know, you messed with God's law about divorce. And he went on and scolded him for changing the laws about divorce. So he hates anything to do with sexual immorality. And just like Zach Pooh said, that is one of the biggest sins, or fish hooks for men, and possibly some women too, but I know it is for men, is pornography on the website. You can't get on anywhere on the net that you don't see a half-naked woman in an ad somewhere, you know. And you can block it all you want to. For somehow or another, they figured out a way to do that. And it's getting worse and worse. It's on TV now. You know, I don't even watch TV here. They watch it back there in the bedroom, but I don't watch it up here at all. I haven't watched any since I've been here. But that's okay. You know, that's where they are right now. This pestilent things, when it comes in, that's going to shut a lot of that stuff out. God's going to get their attention and get it quick, because when this thing happens, it's going to spread real quick. It's going to spread real quick. Some of those y'all that just came in, I recommended that everyone go to the website and listen to David's last three or four messages on God's words of coming pestilence. Somebody, I think it was Matt, was telling me that even today, this morning, y'all got a bunch of verses on judgment coming. And I know before I came to Arkansas, we got a bunch of judgment verses from the Lord every morning. And it's picking up, it looks like. So it's coming. It's coming. Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
I was just kind of wondering what might be good subject for the next outreach would be condemnation.
Okay.
Because, you know, you can't really have that in the days to come.
When you're talking about condemnation, are you talking about personal condemnation, or you speaking condemnation against somebody, or what?
Personal, I think, would be more adequate. Just because, you know, with the pestilence coming, you can't have that condemnation, that fear, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good subject
for people to talk about.
Yep, it sure would. That'd be a good one. So let's do that Thursday night. What is today? This is Tuesday. Okay. Yeah, Missy. Oh, you wasn't raising your hand. Okay. Well, all right. Anybody got anything they want to pray about before we get off? Close out. Okay, Andrew, would you? Yeah, go ahead, Pearl. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Pearl. We can hear you.
Okay. I don't like to pray. That's okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you.
Okay. Lord, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for bringing us together. Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your patience. Thank you for persevering through long suffering with us. And thank you for helping us in our weaknesses, Lord, for being our strength and giving us the answers to the questions that we may have in this hour. God, I pray that you heal us from anything that we're hurting with. And that you deliver us from any strongholds, that you pluck up, and that you prune, that you burn anything out of us, and that you send forth your fire. God, you know us intimately and personally, each one of us. And I ask, God, that you search one of our hearts, for all of our hearts, each one of our hearts, and show us who we are, God. Help us to not hide anything, God. Reveal to us what's going on within us, Lord, that we may confess it before you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I ask that you forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, good night, everybody. Let me unmute. Sitting over here waiting on something to happen.
Thank you, Pearl, for the prayer.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Good night, y'all.
Good night. Good night, y'all.
Stop the recording, Mike.
Good night, everybody.